Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Joe. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joins us again. Mike, who do you think would be more popular among GMs, Peyton or Tomlin?
Well, it depends upon whether or not the GM is going to get ousted by Peyton. That's really the question. Ooh. That's where I thought you were going. There's a certain amount of turf protection that happens when there's a GM who's considering bringing in a head coach who's got leverage and options and influence and may end up running the show and may get the general manager gone. Remember, Bill Cowher was going to be the coach of the Jets some 13 years ago, but Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, wouldn't fire Mike Tannenbaum. So that was that, and Cowher didn't become the coach of the Jets. Cowher wanted to put his guys in. So, yeah, I think that GMs would be more leery of Peyton because I think Peyton wants to take everything over. I think Mike Tomlin is so accustomed to operating within a broader structure, he'd probably be less threatening to the turf, the influence, and the employment of an existing GM. Now, owner,
that's a nuanced answer. Yeah, that's a good one.
And it's not just here's the problem. And I say this every year now, and it's going to make guys with defensive backgrounds not real happy with me, but that's okay. They probably aren't anyway. If you hire a defensive coordinator and you have a great young quarterback and your offense and your team do well, you lose your offensive coordinator because he becomes a head coach elsewhere and you got to find another one. If you have an offensive head coach, he has the relationship with the quarterback, and if you're successful, you don't have to worry about your offensive coordinator leaving because your offensive coordinator is your coach. So there's value in having an offensive head coach from the standpoint of there's consistency year to year with your coach-quarterback relationship. Look at the Lions. They got to sweat out Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator possibly leaving now, and then Dan Campbell would have to find a new coordinator to take over and continue what they've done this year with Jared Goff, and there's no guarantee it's going to work.
Mike, I'll stick with current events instead of maybe a long-range Steelers question here and ask you this. What the heck happens with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, especially now that the Roquan Smith deal is done, Jackson didn't practice? What's going to turn out there?
Well, John Harbaugh apparently said today he doesn't have an update. As long as the player can protect himself, he has no problem with them playing. NFL media has reported it doesn't look good for Jackson this week. ESPN reported there's a strong chance he'll play. It's just a weird situation. And the fact that Roquan Smith was able to get a deal done shows that the Ravens are capable of doing a deal with a guy who doesn't have an agent. The problem in Jackson's case is he's got that Deshaun Watson contract in his head, that 5-year fully guaranteed deal, and he wants that. And the Ravens aren't going to give it to him. And see, if he had an agent, what an agent can say is, look, Lamar, you got two options. One, we negotiate the best deal that the Ravens will give us and we take it. Or two, we tell the Ravens we're never playing for you again. Please trade us. And they put you on the market and we put together a collection of teams that may be interested. And we tell one of them no thank you and hope that team responds by saying, here's a 5-year fully guaranteed contract. Because that's how Deshaun Watson got his. So you're only getting Deshaun Watson's deal if you create the leverage Deshaun Watson created for himself. And Lamar Jackson either refuses to understand that or has no one who's in a position to explain that to him. So I don't think the Ravens and Lamar Jackson are getting a long-term deal done. The question is, how many years does he stay there under the franchise tag, if any?
Mike, I think if he had a deal, he'd be playing this week.
I agree with you. And look, there's a certain point where it's something that the rest of us, to the extent that we had an epiphany last week about the humanity of the players following what happened to DeMar Hamlin, there's a point where we say, 100% the player shouldn't play if he lacks his long-term financial security that he has earned. Chris Sims tells a story about playing with Brandon Marshall in Denver years ago when Marshall was one regular season game away from ending his rookie contract and hadn't been paid yet. He could not muster the will to go out and play hard. He was torn because he knows that when he goes out there, he could suffer an injury that prevents him from ever getting the contract that he's already earned, but the team is yet to give him. And that's where Lamar Jackson is. He's earned the contract. Now, he doesn't have it in part because he doesn't have an agent who would negotiate the best possible deal or posture him for a trade. But here he is 5 years into his career. And we were talking about this today and on PFT Live, and Chris Sims said something about when Lamar Jackson was in his prime and then tried to correct himself. Like, you know what? You may have it right. You may have it right. It may be fair, given all the injuries we've seen, to talk about Lamar Jackson's best years as behind him and never coming around again. And it's unfortunate if that's the case. And one of the things he may need is to go on the market and see what else is out there or what else isn't out there to appreciate that whatever the Ravens are willing to pay him is what he should take. And, you know, the problem is at this point, the Ravens may be willing to not do what they would have been willing to do before the season began. That's one of the risks of, quote unquote, betting on yourself. We love it when guys bet on themselves because when it works, we feel good. And when it loses, it ain't our money.
Mike, what do you think happens in Pittsburgh with the offensive coordinator? Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, I don't know. I know that, certain people on your show are considering and lobbying for change and have been for a while, Pony.
Yes.
But
I'll jump in on that one too, Mike. It's not certain people. It's the whole show here, my friend.
The whole Ken caboodle, Mike.
Yeah. This is that weird time of year where teams consider the changes they are or aren't going to make, and some changes are made and some changes aren't made. And I don't know what to anticipate because they're the ones making the decision. They're the ones who hired him. They're the ones who kept him all season long. And they're the ones who may want to maintain and build on that relationship I was talking about earlier between coach and quarterback. Why disrupt it if it's starting to work with Kenny Pickett? Why bring in a new personality, a new coach with a new offense? Why do you want to put Kenny Pickett through that? How many quarterbacks have we seen in recent years who have this revolving door of offensive and coordinators and terminology and scheme, and it keeps them from becoming the best quarterback they can be? So let me say this. If you're all in with Kenny Pickett, as I think you are, and believe that he's got the potential to be great, as I think you do, you hamper him if you get rid of Matt Canada and hire a new offensive coordinator at this point. Now, long-term, he may be better off, but short-term, it does slow his growth if, on top of everything else for next year, he's got to worry about a new offensive coordinator. And the other side of it, too, and this is a strange dynamic of what Mike Tomlin has accomplished over the past 15 years. He has no coaching tree.
We bring that up all the time, Mike. We bring it up all the time.
So you know what? Matt Canada may not be going anywhere if you keep him around. And you don't have to worry about him. He could be the first guy on the Mike Tomlin coaching tree, though. Whoever worked with Kenny Pickett, given that Kenny Pickett has shown that he's pretty damn good, whoever works with him in the future may be the first branch of the Mike Tomlin coaching tree.
My thing is, Mike, if you're 26th in offense again next year and you're going to have to fire Matt Canada, what difference does it make if you fired him in year two, after year one or after year two? He's still not good.
Well, right. But
I don't think any other team in the NFL would hire Matt Canada to be their offensive coordinator, given his resume is mostly limited to college football.
Here's the thing. Great players have a way of making coaches look pretty smart. Dick Vermeil said that when he got put into the Hall of Fame back in August. He said, I became a damn smart coach once I had Marshall Faulk on my team. So, you know, it's very easy to get in a position where the dog chasing the tail on this, but quality of player and development of player and growth of player go a long way toward making coach look a hell of a lot better.
Like, Mike, and if Frank Reich said for some weird reason, I'd like to be the Steelers' offensive coordinator, you wouldn't say no to that because of the initial hampering that you talked about with a coordinator change, would you?
Assuming that's a fit. I mean, now look, maybe Mike Tomlin doesn't want a guy whose agenda is to sanitize his resume for a year or two and then parlay that into a head coaching job somewhere else. I mean, that kind of mindset can be a detriment if you get to the playoffs. I don't like the current rules. I don't know what a good solution is, but I don't like the idea that you've got teams that go into the postseason and you've got coaches who are interviewing for other jobs. And that's a time when you should be devoting every waking moment to helping your team do whatever needs to be done to win that next game. And guys try to justify it every year. I don't care. The time you spend interviewing for those other jobs is time that takes away from you getting ready for the next playoff game. Now, obviously, that doesn't matter to the Steelers this year, but it surely will matter in the future. So that's one of the factors that you have to take into account when you think about that. Am I bringing in Frank Reich because Frank Reich wants to be my offensive coordinator or because Frank Reich wants to be a head coach? And he's using this as his stepping stone. And, you know, I want somebody who's going to be here longer than that. I don't know. But, again, I say that knowing full well that if Kenny Pickett throws for 5,000 yards next year, Matt Canada becomes a head coaching candidate. But it's just something to keep in mind as it relates to what the Steelers may be thinking.
Mike, we had a very peppery interview with Michael Lombardi yesterday. It was, you know, all three people trading punches. It was a two-on-one match, but he was given as good as he got. And it started because he said Mike Tomlin was his coach of the year. He felt strongly about it and that he's a top five coach in the league, that if he was running an expansion team, he would try to get to run to be his team's coach. Can you give us your overall opinion and assessment on what Mike Tomlin did this year as far as the coaching job with the Steelers, how he measured out, graded out for you?
Well, I think Mike Tomlin is an incredibly good coach. Now, we had a conversation today about Jared Goff. And, you know, Jared Goff is not a quarterback that is going to win multiple, if any, Super Bowls. And it could be that Mike Tomlin is a guy who's kind of like a Jared Goff has become in Detroit, even though they didn't make it to the playoffs. They finished the same as the Steelers, and they had a great turnaround. So maybe there's some dotted lines. It's almost like we've got enough evidence now from Tomlin as a coach to say he will keep you in the vicinity of the front door, but he's not going to kick it in. And that's the balance that you want to have to strike. And who knows what's right or what's wrong. I mean, look, Rams fans are happy. They got a Super Bowl last year, but that franchise has been torn down now to the point where Sean McVay is ready to run out the door for good because he knows it's a multi-year rebuild. Mike Tomlin is going to take whatever he's got and make it competitive and be a contending, relevant team. But it's been a long time since they won a playoff game. It's been a long time since they've been to a Super Bowl. It's been a long time since they won a Super Bowl. And the Steelers aren't the kind of organization that gets antsy about that. But, you know, it's almost, what do you want? Do you want to burn bright and capture the brass ring and maybe fall off the horse in the process? Or are you content to just every year be hanging around and make it interesting down the stretch and maybe the planets are going to line up for us and maybe this is going to happen, maybe that's going to happen, but how many spins now have we had where it just doesn't happen? So I'm trying to articulate my point that maybe Mike Tomlin is a guy that will help you be good, but you're not going to be consistently great. I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's a fair conversation. And this year, it's hard to say coach of the year because you do a great job cleaning up a mess you made. I don't know that makes you coach of the year. It's a full body of work thing. He was great in the second half, as was Dan Campbell, but he presided over the mess that was made that required that great second half.
Mike, what is it going to take for the AFC Championship game to come here in a few weeks?
I don't know. This is something that I think is being overlooked in its significance. When the owners decided to change the rule they have on the books for dealing with a canceled game. And, you know, last week they were so good, the league was, about being transparent and open and helpful, but nobody ever told us as the media, oh, by the way, we already have a rule for dealing with a canceled game. We're seriously considering options for changing that rule because we don't like that rule, even though that's the rule on the books. If there's a canceled game, we go by winning percentages to determine playoff spots and playoff seeding, and that's it. They changed that rule, and when they changed that rule, they gave the commissioner full power to determine where a neutral site would be. And I think it needs to be outdoors with elements as a factor, because if the Bills or the Chiefs had hosted that game, it would have been outdoors with elements as a factor. And my choices are Lambeau Field, Heinz Field, sorry, AccraSure, I still call it Heinz Field, and Soldier Field, 1, 2, 3. Those are my top three. And the next one would be, I guess, Cleveland. Outdoor, eastern, northeastern climate, in the elements, grass field. I think that's what it has to be. And if they go with a dome, that tells me, and I may be wrong, wouldn't be the first time this hour, but that tells me they're thinking about making neutral site a regular thing for conference championships, and turning it into like Super Bowl light, where they dangle it to a city and they ask for all sorts of money and
stuff. Oh, God, I would hate that.
I'm telling you.
I would despise that, Mike.
But if they pick Atlanta or Vegas or SoFi or Dallas, if the Cowboys lose on Monday night and haven't finalized it by then, if they do that, that tells me they're thinking about this new potential industry. Remember how the draft...
That is such an FU to the paying customer. Oh, my. That's double-barreled FU.
The draft became a traveling road show by necessity, not because they chose to do it. And when it fell into their lap, they looked at it and they said, we're going to keep doing this. This is pretty good. We can make a lot of money. We can create a lot of excitement. This can make it bigger and better. And when you're in a business that is constantly under pressure to grow revenue, grow revenue, grow revenue, there's only so many ways to do it. And you take those two games and you put them at a neutral site. And I think it's just a matter of time before the conference championships are Sunday night, Monday night also, not both the same day. Just why? I'm just saying, if they don't put it outdoors in Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Chicago, or Cleveland, and they make people go to Atlanta or Vegas or SoFi or Dallas, that tells me they're interested in how this experiment will go, and maybe the next step will be conference championships or neutral site.
Mike Florio, check him out. Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. They've got a game this weekend, Ravens and Bengals Sunday night. Thank you, Mike.
And two, AAO Saturday night, too.
And Saturday night, too, with Al Michaels coming back on the mic.
That's right. All right.
Thank you, Mike.
See you guys.
Bye.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
It's winner-take-all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.